All right, thank you, Pastor. It's a joy to be in the Lord's house. Turning your Bibles, please, to Psalm 44. Thankful that we can be in this good place today. And I appreciate the preaching last night that helped my heart. And looking forward to a good day today. Psalm 44, if you'll turn there, please. And I'm going to start with verse number 1. We'll stand together, if you would, please. And I want to read two or three verses here. Psalm 44. The Bible says, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work Thou didst in their days, in the times of old, how Thou didst drive out the heathen with Thy hand, and plantest them, how Thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. But Thy right hand and Thine arm and the light of Thy countenance, because Thou hadst a favor unto them." Let's pray. Father, I need Your help this morning, and I'm so thankful, Lord, for this day, and Lord, for the privilege to stand and serve You this morning. And Lord, thank You for the opportunity to get to come. And Lord, this has been a faithful place for many years. And I thank You for Brother Sims that continues to do the work of God. Bless His dear people. Bless throughout the week. And Holy Ghost, I pray for Your leadership and power now as we preach. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Thank You for standing. You can be seated. Now, I want to take those verses this morning, especially looking at verse number 1, and preach to you a few minutes on being an old-time Christian. An old-time Christian. I want to read a couple other places over in Psalm 77 and verse number 5. The psalmist says, "I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times." He goes on in verse number 11 and says, "I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among the people. Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah." So, especially back in Psalm 44, the psalmist is writing, and he's talking about, "We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us." Now, this has been on my heart somewhat lately. I preached at my church, and I thought if the Lord wanted me to preach, He had this burning on my heart. But, you know, I kind of don't feel really qualified to be able to preach this in the presence of some of you who are older than myself and maybe know the true Holy Ghost ways better than me. But I will say this, I got in the right way. I know that. And ever since I've been saved, I've had a great appetite inside of me to know the ways of the Holy Ghost. Even
in a lot of ways here in the South of the old time churches where I was saved up in the mountains, even the church I was saved in, and I got saved under deep Holy Ghost conviction that worked me to repentance, and I got born again. I came to an old-fashioned altar and begged God to save me. He heard my cry, and He answered me with peace in my heart. And I've been well satisfied for almost 43 years now. It still works inside of me. But I've got an appetite to look at the old-timers and to understand the old-time way. And there's a lot of ways I was exposed to when I first got saved that were not right. Now, I'm not here to throw off on my pastor. He's in heaven. He preached the gospel to me. But there's a lot of ways he got caught up in that I would not practice in this day. As far as promotions to get crowds to come and doing crazy things down at the house of God to try to draw numbers. I don't think the old timers would participate in things like that. And, you know, I got to thinking about the message this morning. I thought, Lord, 100 years ago, I don't know if any preachers would have to go in our country churches and preach to them people about being an old-time Christian, because they were one. And I want to maintain my walk in the right way. I think we're failing to our rising generations by not revealing to them how God has worked in our life. Now, I think my mother, both of my parents were godly people. I think my mother would be more identified as a Philadelphian Christian than more so than my daddy. She just had a way about her with the Holy Ghost that fascinated me about how that He worked in her life and the things that she knew. It seemed like there was a secret of the Lord that my mama knew about. And it always fascinated me. I knew about my dad's conversion, and he lived for God ever since he said he got saved. But I was always interested in my mother's walk with God. And then my wife, she got saved when she was 12 in a cottage prayer meeting up in the mountains of North Carolina. And I noticed a lot of these old timers say things that register in my heart. And even though my wife, now, honey, I'm not calling you an old-timer in age now, but but she's of the old-time way. And I want to say, you know, my wife has said to me, she said, honey, and I've been all about this to try to get people to live in righteousness. But my wife has said to me, she said, you know, back when I used to travel with Daddy to the cottage prayer meetings, and she said, you never did hear a lot of preachers preach about dress standards and things like that. They just preached about the cross and heaven and hell and what Jesus did for us. And them old sinners would get saved and their life would get converted and they'd go on and live for God. And I'm wondering sometimes if we're trying to make Christians out of people that don't know God in our churches. Amen. I remember, I don't know how many of y'all down here remember a preacher by the name of Berman Cape or not. But he's old-time preacher. He's with the Lord. His wife is still alive. And I had him preach at my church a few times. And I guess probably the last time that he was with me, we were back in the fellowship hall after the service. I believe it was. And he was busy talking to somebody. And so I was standing there talking to Sister Kate, and she's of that way. And she was just talking to me, and she said, you know, Brother Ronnie, she said, when I was a young girl, you never did hear preachers preach to young ladies about, you know, marrying, making sure you're marrying a godly man. And she said, I'm just being honest with you. She was talking to me, and I know that it's right to do that. But she just said, you know, a young man and a young lady would fall in love, and they'd get married. She said, I fell in love with Berman, and he didn't know God, but we got married. But she said, when we got married, she said, I went before my God. And I heard her tell this story many times. And she get that faraway look. And she said, I got to praying. And she start working that arm like that. And she said, I got to praying that God would save my man. And she said, and when she start doing like this, you had to kind of back up a little bit, because Sister Kate was fixing to lose sight of it. And she said, God saved my Berman. And she said, God called my Berman to preach the Word of God. He wasn't nothing but a drunk. But, oh, God, save my man. And, buddy, you'd have to back up a little bit. And I'd say, amen, Sister Kate. And she'd go, she said, God did that for me. And she would lose sight of herself. And you know what? I love that. I like that way. And I want to know about that way. And I want to be of that way. God saved me that way. And I want to know more about it. Now, here's what makes me sad in my heart. I've asked the Lord to help me because I'm fixing to turn 62. And I know there's some of you that would call me a whoopersnapper and still young. But whatever time I've got left, I don't want to slip and go back the other way. But I want to get tighter and closer and to know the old time way and try to plant my anchor. Because there's so much that's slipping the other direction. And all this stuff that we see about our churches sliding the other direction, and people losing their morals that say they're saved, it's a result of a heart condition. And that makes us sad. And if somebody along the way, don't stick the mattock down in the ground and say, here's where God laid the foundation, and here's where I'm going to stand and try to make a difference for God. Amen. So that these young people and this younger generation can know that all this other stuff is not of God. Now, I'm not going to get in detail this morning, and you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. But there's some stuff going on that I don't like. And it's not because I'm trying to be critical. But I was preaching to my church sometime last year about the spirits of Antichrist and discerning the spirits. And I'm not here to say that I've got an A plus in doing that. But I'm trying to learn these things. I'm trying to pick up on what the senior men of God and you senior Christians have in your heart. And so I was trying to preach to my church, and I was telling them you have to be careful about things. And while I was preaching, this has been some time back, maybe a couple years ago, and I said there's this thing going on over in Burlington, North Carolina, and they're calling a great revival. And I told my church, I said, don't get caught up in that. I said, it's not of God. And I had a preacher kind of hit the pulpit afterward and said, I'm a little concerned about you making that statement. I said, I'm not. I said, I'm picking up on things that the Spirit of God flags my heart about. like sensual ways of singing gospel music, and trying to get results through manipulation in the pulpit, and to get results to take selfies and post it on Facebook about all the great results and all the big schedules that you got. I don't feel right about that. I'm getting red flags about that. And there's a rising generation of preachers right now that have got an uncertain way and an uncertain sound in them that's not fitting in my heart. And I want to know this way because I think it's important that we don't. Some of you looking at me strange this morning. I'm not up here preaching a rock-throwing message. I'm just trying to say there is a right way. And I want to know that way. And I think whether you're a preacher or whoever you are, if you're saved by the grace of God, it ought to be in your heart to know that way. Amen. So the psalmist is relating, and he says here in verse number 1, he said, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, and how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. So he's talking about when they went into Canaan, and he's talking about how that God worked on their behalf. Now, I still believe that when a person gets saved, the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He is a new creature. Not after 6 months of training union. Not after 6 months of discipleship classes. But he is a new creature. Right there when he gets born again. And he's saved by the grace of God. And I know that we have to grow in grace. And I'm still growing in grace. But there is a conversion that takes place when a person gets saved. If they're jacked up with a woman, they'll break that night. And won't go back and sleep with a woman. Amen. And if they're caught up in drinking, they'll want to pour that liquor out. I believe when God saves a person, he converts them right then. Amen. Now we're not seeing many strong conversions in these days. And I know it concerns you just like it concerns me. Amen. And I passed a church over here coming this morning. It said the old time way Baptist Church. And I knew what the Lord had on my heart, and I thought, well, that's a good name. I just hope it is that way on the inside of the church. Amen. The old time way. And it is the way of knowing the Spirit of God and discerning His leadership in our life. And I've shared this with my church. Some time back, there's an old man in my church. He's 80, but he took me out in the country to visit an old missionary. And it was cold one winter here a couple years ago, and we went out there, and his wife was dead, and he was old and feeble and come off the field. And he said, let's go in here and visit Brother Garfield. And so we knocked on his door, and he had that little wood stove burning there, and the old man opened the door, and when he spoke, you could feel God. And when you went inside, you could feel like God was baked in the old house. You could feel like, do y'all understand what I'm talking about? You could feel like prayer had gone into the fibers of those walls in the old house. And just listening to him talk. And I want that way. I love that way. I think I got born again in that way. But I got saved back in 1975. And I'm probably too young to be identified as a Philadelphian Christian. But I do want to say this. It's in my heart. And the thirst is there to understand that and to know that way. And I may never get to a point where some of these old-timers have been. But I think God can help me, listen, in 2018 to make a little difference about some of this stuff that's showing up to our young people and say, that's not right. Don't go that way. Stay with God. Now, old time conviction. Now, God, when I read my Bible, God's always against new stuff, right?
That's right.
David built a new cart, and God showed David. He also showed us what he thought about that new way of transporting the Ark of the Covenant. God says, I've set the principles of old, and you stay with the old paths. Amen? You stay with the old way. And you've got to make your heart want the old way. That's right. And if you're going to get saved the old time way, you're going to have to find God. Amen? Now, I said that to my church, and I said, but I quickly backed this up saying, listen, you know how I found God? Because He first found me. And because He found me, it made me want to find Him. Does that make any sense to you? Amen. That happened in Ruth's life. She was a Moabite. But somebody bigger than her put something inside of her to lay hold of Naomi, her mother-in-law, when Orpah turned and went back to her genetics and her people and her world. Ruth said, there's something about Naomi, even though she's brought down here out of the will of God. There's a God in heaven that caused me to get near to with this Hebrew woman, and I mean to go back with you, and I mean, listen, you're God to be my God, and your people to be my people.
Amen.
Now, when God saved me, I didn't say it publicly, but He brought me to a place that I wanted to be saved. I think all sinners that get saved because they want to get saved, not because somebody else is wanting to get a profession out of them, but because they wanted to get saved. And there's only one person that can put a want to in your heart to be born again, and that's the Holy Ghost of God. Through old time conviction. And through old time conviction, He breaks all the pride and all the rebellion and all the argument, listen, and all the rebel ways out of you and humbles you and puts you on praying ground and begging ground to where you fling yourself onto Him. Amen. I heard Brother Milby say that one time. I kind of like that. So I've been telling sinners when they come to my altar, I said, I can't tell you how to be saved, but I can tell you this. When God gets you ripe enough, you'll want to fling yourself on Him. Because I remember that's exactly what I did. I flung myself. Listen, I left the back row. Listen, I didn't have a cocky attitude when I come down that aisle to get saved. But I'll tell you, I came down that aisle had to throw myself at His ankles and to put a lock on His ankles. And I meant to be born again before I left that church house. And I didn't work that up in my mind. He worked that down in my heart. And He broke me. And if you're going to get in the old time way and be an old time Christian, you're going to have to find God. Now I'm going to tell you something else. You're going to have to forget the past. That's right. He brought them Hebrews out. He brought them out of Egypt. And He didn't mean for them to go back. And when God saves, listen, I'm just going to tell you some things I'm tired of. I'm tired of a generation of preachers that want to show up at the movie house.
Go ahead.
I'm tired of a generation of Christians that want to run around and short. I'm tired of all this pull and argument to have the world back. I didn't get saved that way. I didn't get saved to turn back and eat from the same plate again. Out of the same hog slop. When God saved me, and I'm not exalting me, I'm exalting Him. But listen, the only person that can change the appetite, the genetics, and the nature of a rotten, hell-bound sinner and make them love Jesus and righteousness is a holy God in heaven. And I'm here to tell you, righteousness is everything about salvation. Now, the Bible called Noah a preacher of righteousness. And, well, I don't know if old-timers are supposed to have laptop computers, but I've got one. I just use it for a Bible program, and I wear it out. So, Brother Henderson, I got interested in those two words, preachers, preacher of. And there's a thing in there that you can click on it, and it'll say exact phrase. So I wanted to know how many preachers of different things in the Bible there was. I wanted to know if there was a preacher of comfort or a preacher of grace or a preacher of popularity. And so when I clicked on it, it only popped up one time. And it said, preacher of righteousness. What about that? Not a preacher of comfort, not a preacher of grace. And even though we are those things, the Bible marked Noah as a preacher of righteousness. So I'm a little bit troubled when we've got a generation of preachers that hate preaching on righteousness and the holy way. The way of true salvation is a way of holiness. Amen.
Amen.
It's a pilgrim way. This world is not our home. It's a narrow way. The broad way is a way to destruction. And it's a narrow way. And I'm going to say, I don't want to preach long, but I want to say, if you're going to be an old-time Christian, you're going to have to fight the good fight. Amen. The preacher was right last night when he preached. It's already been a little tough on us, not near as tough as it was back in the book of Acts. But it's going to get a lot tighter. People are going to begin leaving us. And they're going to leave us more and more and more. And the crowds are dwindling down. And you're right, they're not of us. I believe if they're of us, they would have stayed with us. They would know this way. When God saved me, I said in my heart, this is my kind of people.
Amen.
Amen. And I appreciate He led me to Calvary, but He's been leading me ever since. He's been leading me in the paths of people who believe the right way and know the right way. And I love you people. Amen. And so, I guess if I've got a theme or a motive in my preaching this morning, it's to encourage you to be an all-time Christian. And don't let all this stuff pull you in a different way. And I'm not down here to nitpick and criticize, but I'm telling you, there's just a lot of ways that the modern-day worship services are going that I'm not going to go that way. We're going to sing the old hymns. We're going to preach out of that old King James Bible. And I'm going to try my best to follow God. I come down to my church, and sometimes I just got to sort out because I can get hemmed up on things. And I just try to sit, and I look out over my empty auditorium, and I begin to reminisce what I've been preaching about. I don't want to put just all taters on the table all the time. I want to put some meat and some cornbread and some good stuff and once in a while even preach nice to them and try to encourage them a little bit. Amen. And be a balanced preacher. Amen. But there again, if you follow God, nobody can be any more balanced than God can. He knows exactly what we need. Amen. And so I want to be a man of prayer. I want to be a man that draws aside and shuts everything out. And I want to say to you, the only way to be an old-time Christian, there's too much going on. We're too busy. We're too driven. And I I'm unworthy to say anything, I think, in the way of rebuke to you preachers. But if you're not careful, you'll let the devil throw you a curve and even push you to a point in the ministry. Listen, to where you quit shutting down and pulling aside and being alone with God. And a lot of our churches feel like busyness is spirituality. And it's not. It's not. And they jam families. And they push families. And, you know, I guess probably Jerry Bird's school is the only school. I was thinking about this the other day. And, but I'm not real big on Christian schools. I'm not big on public schools. And probably our Christian schools are about a notch above the public schools. I think Jerry Bird, I think Wes Guffey's got a school, is that right? And I've never, other than them joining choirs, and so they're probably going the right way. But to be honest with you, most of these big colleges have apostatized. They've turned the wrong way. When God saved me, I didn't know a lot of things. I didn't understand, but my pastor encouraged different schools. I ended up in Tennessee Temple. Do you know where Tennessee Temple College and Bible School is today? It's a big fat zero. It's gone. The building's gone. The church is gone. The schools are gone. They used to have 6,000. Evil men crept in unawares. They started criticizing that black Bible right there. And God took His hand off of it. And I'm here to tell you, the place of teaching and training belongs to the fathers in our families. Amen. We need a good old-fashioned revival of getting right with God. Where daddies have quit playing with four-wheelers and video games and stop whining around and sucking your thumb and about everything and go find God somewhere. You don't need to go off with the boys. You need to throw your dinner bucket in the pickup truck and go to the hayloft and pray a while. Get alone with God. Amen. So I love this old way. God, man, we're not stopping. Do you realize, I'm trying to hurry, preacher, but you realize that old fundamental, independent, soul-winning mess threw me a curve when I was 9 years old. They didn't care about a 9-year-old boy. They didn't care about that. I didn't have a clue what salvation was. Well, I think I lost some people right there. I just walked forward and the preacher said, "Ronnie, what you doing up here?" I said, "I come to get saved." I didn't know what saved was. I didn't know what a sinner was. I wish that preacher had had enough wisdom to pat me on the shoulder and said, "We're going to pray with you and I'm going to send you back to UC." I wish. But it was another number.
Right.
And so they led me through the prayer. You know how difficult it is when you've been anchored in something that somebody told you that you were saved and told you by pointing at a verse and say, because of this verse, don't let anybody ever tell you you're lost. And then when you get under true conviction, you're all the time going back to that awful experience. And you keep arguing with God. I'm going to tell you that has damned so many to hell in our churches. I'm glad He broke in on me. I'm glad when He moved toward me. I made a move toward Him. And when He moved toward me, I made another move toward Him. One day we met, and He saved my soul. And He's a jumping up and down inside of my heart today. And I'm glad for that. And I'm thankful for that. That's the only thing that's going to get my grandbabies in. And I've got to stay with the stuff. I want to know the way. I'm watching you all. Praise God for you ladies that know this way. I love it. I thank God for it. be an old-time Christian. It's going to have to be in your heart. It's in my heart. I'm not saying that I've achieved that, but it's in my heart. It's my appetite. I love to hear old-time preaching, old-time shouting and worship. I love to be around the old-time people. Amen. I pastored my first church up in the mountains of North Carolina. I didn't understand a lot of this way. I was trying to follow that other way. And God kind of directed my paths. But I got to noticing a difference. And every once in a while there'd be an old timer way back in a holler somewhere. And they couldn't hardly ever. You know what I like about my mama's testimony? They might have walked to church every Sunday, but they only went to one service on Sunday. They didn't have three services a week. And they probably only heard preaching once, maybe twice a month. But my mama got hooked up with something that saw her all the way through those years of depression. I've told the story before. But my mama died with Alzheimer's. And when she didn't even know where she was at, we were fixing to carry her to her Alzheimer's unit. My daddy called on her to pray. And y'all have heard me tell the story. We were at the breakfast table. And my dad was already weeping because he knew my brother was going to come. We were going to take her to an Alzheimer's unit. She got so bad. And daddy always called on me to pray. And I sat down at the breakfast table. And I knew daddy was going to say, Ronnie, pray over the food this morning. And so he blew his nose and he looked across the table and he said, Eileen, you pray this morning. And I'll never forget, I looked at him like, Daddy, have you lost your mind? Because Mama's lost her mind. Why? I mean, I didn't say that out loud, but I thought, why would you call? She don't even know where she's at. But that old way, that spirit clicked in. And I saw her proper arm up. And the Holy Ghost went to praying through that woman. And when she got done, she looked around and she said, I think we've spent the night in this hotel before. Yeah. And I thought, you know, there's something about that. I want to know and I want to walk with God that way and have that relationship with the Holy Ghost. I love that way. And I've got an appetite for that. And I want to encourage you to stay with the old time way and be an old time Christian, because that's the only thing that's going to see us through in this hour. Thank you, preacher.